Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Center, Dima Mixon. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Opening segment of the show is sponsored every day, and today's no different. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place for Kelly to take Dima and I to lunch tomorrow.
Look, don't push your luck. I bought the last lunch.
Thought it was what's his name?
Who is the
actual name on the card?
Yeah.
Oh, Martin Reynolds.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, Mr. Reynolds bought the lunch.
Yeah, I've noticed
that. He just didn't know it.
His card is locked now, you guys.
It's locked. I wonder why. Hey, before we get to our first guest, you got some news here, Dima? A score we can pass along?
Yeah, Southern Miss women's basketball, of course, on that weird 11 a.m. time, which I think I was watching the game, and there's a lot of screaming, so I assume that was Education Day.
Yeah.
So, but 75-61 was the final over there in Texas State. So good road victory for the ladies to get kind of that loss against App State out of their mouth, and a nice road victory. We talk a lot about it all the time. You know, road victories are really hard to do in the Sun Belt, and they got one there. And the men tonight look to get one against Troy.
All right, and who better to talk to about that than, I think it's fair to say, our favorite Sun Belt play-by-play guy is Barry McKnight. I don't think there's a close second, Kelly. Do you?
Who else can do play-by-play of a Thanksgiving cutting of a carving of a turkey than Barry McKnight?
Barry, it just seems like these two schools are always butting heads, doesn't it? In athletics and. We hear Troy's got a good, high-powered basketball team. What should we look for tonight? Should be a good game, right?
Well, it's interesting that you ask it in that way because there are quite a few contrasts in this one. For Troy to be successful, and again, you're right, they're butting heads, and both Troy and Southern Miss are in a kind of a four-way deal at the top of the league. You know, four teams at the top have one in the loss column, and that's it. So this is a big one for sure. This is what you'd look for if Troy's doing what they want to do, and that's spread the floor out, rebound the basketball. They're shooting really well from three-point range. Troy is the top scoring team in the league. They're the top three-point shooting team in the league. Southern Miss on the other side, they're wanting to try to get it to their players, to Tyliq Weeks and to some of those other guys. I like Jahid Benet lately, but they are the poorest three-point shooting team in the league, so they're going to try to get to the rim. Troy would love to sit outside and just shoot threes. They did that a lot in the win against Louisiana on Saturday. Troy had 17 threes in that game and shot 61% from three. So I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, but if Troy is doing what they want to do, that's how it's going to look.
Well, the odds makers have them a 10-point favorite, 10, right?
9.5 right now. You mentioned that, Barry, about the three-point shooting, and you're right in saying Southern Miss's three-point shooting has really been awful for most of the season. What is the key to beating a team? I mean, Troy shoots the three so well, and you'd think that on paper, at least, that would be a significant mismatch tonight.
Well, the reason why it's been so good for Troy this year, part of its approach, because, you know, Troy, you'll notice this, there are three shooting guards and two stretch fours, really two, power forwards. There is no true center, and everybody can shoot. Kobe Campbell, Cooper Campbell, Thomas Dowd, who leads the league in rebounding, also leads Troy in number of three-pointers. It's an odd thing. Theo Sang is 6'9". He'll play the post defensively, but he gets out and shoots the three. And the biggest scorer on the team, Victor Valdez, He is a facilitator. He's a matchup problem as well. So the answer to your question, why has it been so good, is because everybody has done it. It's not one or two guys. There are four guys, three in the starting lineup, who are shooting better than 40% from three-point range. It's been coming from all over.
Yeah, when you look at the scouting reports from other schools who have played Troy, they literally use the phrase, pick your poison. Because if you try to double one, it really doesn't matter who you try to double up, because they got four or five other guys that can also shoot it. So the question would be, Barry, you know, well, how does this team lose? And those scouting reports say a lot of the same thing, is lots of times Troy will have to beat itself by simply not shooting very well, which doesn't happen very often. So the Eagles have got defensively their work cut out for them tonight.
Well, I think so, and everybody does. The one loss that Troy had was a legitimate loss at Arkansas State a week ago, where the Trojans, Arkansas did everything better than Troy did. Troy didn't rebound that game well at all. They both have the same approach to offensive rebounding. Arkansas State's first in the league in offensive rebounding, and Troy is second. And Arkansas State just did a much better job than Troy did. Troy didn't shoot it well. Troy didn't rebound well at all. And, you know, they turned it over much too much. So, you know, when Troy is playing the way that that I've seen them play several times this year, they're difficult to beat, but it can be done, especially what Southern Miss does, for instance. Number one, this is what strikes me. They have an old team. They have a lot of older players on that team who know what they're doing. Weeks and Kurt Lewis and, you know, even down to Asuma and Diagne down low, some of those guys. So, you know, these guys are experienced that are coming in. Plus, number two, they got the great player. Nobody has done a really good job of stopping Tyler Weeks. And if he goes off, if the Trojans can't match up against him, you know, Southern Miss has got a real chance. The only question I've really got at all about Southern Miss, and I like what Coach Ladner has done, is they're 5-1 in the league. They're, you know, both Troy and Southern Miss have lost to Arkansas State, but the wins for Southern Miss, two wins against a poor Louisiana team, two right. wins against a poor ULM team, and then the overtime win against Texas State. I think they'll be stressed in this game tonight, at least somewhat, because they haven't played a very tough schedule to this point, but I wouldn't count out Southern Miss at all in this one.
Barry, who has Troy played in the conference leading into tonight?
Troy has, their wins have come, and again, they've only had two road games. Their wins have come at home against South Alabama, against Texas State, against Marshall in a real slugfest, and on the road last game out, against Louisiana, who is just outmatched. So Troy's 4-1, and three of the four conference wins have come at home, where Troy is traditionally pretty strong.
And Marshall's pretty good, aren't they, Barry?
Yeah, and the reason why I didn't bring up that earlier is, and again, I don't want to over-brag about it. They have played really well, Troy has, and I'm certainly not conceding anything today. But, for instance, you take that Marshall game. They had the 7'4" guy in the middle. This is what we're talking about Troy's stretch fours. Theo Sang, at 6'9", he has been a really good three-point shooter. So you draw the 7'4" guy out on the floor who has to guard him. That opens up the middle. And Troy won that one. Troy scores 100 in regulation against Texas State, who thought that their best chance would be to run Troy. And Troy wins in a score fest. And then South Alabama, who, as you know, they don't like anything to come into the paint. They're forcing you to shoot threes, and they'll play very slow. That was a slow-paced game, and Troy won that one 59-49. So far, again, without feeling, you know, like everything, all the hay is in the barn, Troy has played really well in a slow-paced game, and they can score with anybody in this league if you want to try run up and down the court.
Georgia Southern was getting a lot of talk as potentially the best team in the league, but then they got beat this past week. Would you say at this point, Barry, my view is that Arkansas State right now has probably been the best consistent team in the league. What say you?
I would say so. I was surprised at the nature of their loss to James Madison, because James Madison, they have underperformed this year, and they played very physically against Arkansas State. I'm not sure that was the reason for the win, but they played more physically against Arkansas State than anybody else has. I like Arkansas State. They're an entirely new team. Everybody is gone from last year's team that Troy beat in the Sun Belt Tournament Championship game. Georgia Southern, I haven't seen them, but if there's a team that is similar in approach to what Troy does and what Arkansas State does, it's Georgia Southern. They match up very well off the glass, and they play, you know, they play defensively to their matchups. We play Georgia Southern on the road in Statesboro in a week and a half, and I'm certainly interested in that one. But if you're looking for a team that is really impressed, I think more so than anybody else, I've got to go with Arkansas State.
All right, Barry, always fun having you on the show. We always appreciate your insight. Look forward to another exciting athletic event tonight between Southern Miss and Troy.
Yeah, anytime you need advice on proper reading glasses, let me know. I'd be glad to help, fellas.
All right, more on that later.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks. Yeah, that'll be in the news and notes segment later. Kelly has hit us with another fashion moment. It's unbelievable. We'll be back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Our good buddy Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff out at Eagle Tire West for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service as well. They've been in business since 1985, family operated around here. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear tires, full service. Big Southern Miss supporters. Don't go buy tires anywhere else. Go to Eagle Tire or Eagle Tire West, where Golden Eagle people are going to sell you tires. And if you're in market for a car, the official auto dealer of our program is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Their sedans and SUVs are all in Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership. They're located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, so Dima, nice win for the ladies on the road, and boy, this would be a big one tonight if the men could pull this off.
Yeah, to start with the ladies, of course, big win on the road, and I mentioned on Monday the reason I think they really struggled against App State is Carly Keats had 0 points the whole day against App State, 17 today against Texas State, so she was back on her normal production, and obviously Kayla Johnson just off again, 19 points, 9 rebounds. They got some good production from the bench. They didn't shoot particularly well, only 37%, and Texas State actually shot 43%, but Southern Miss still was able to manage to get that win. Now they have a pretty tough game coming up on the road as well. They're going to Arkansas State on Saturday, which is a 2 p.m. tip-off. Arkansas State, of course, the best team in the league right now outside of Marshall, 14-4. Southern Miss, of course, played them earlier this season where they lost at home 91-83. So that game will be on Saturday.
Appear to be the best women's team, right? Arkansas
State. Marshall's undefeated in women's. Oh, okay. So it's either Marshall or Arkansas State. They're definitely the top two.
And I get to listen to a lot of the women's game this morning, and you have to credit their defense a lot today because – As Dima said, they didn't necessarily shoot very well. And normally when you'd look at those numbers, you'd go, well, how in the world do you win a game when you're only shooting that well? The Eagle defense, late Eagle defense, was especially tenacious this morning, caused a lot of turnovers. There were a couple of times in the game where the Lady Eagles themselves went for four-minute droughts without scoring any points at all. And you're going, well, if you're not scoring within 4 minutes, well, certainly the other team would be. No, the defense was so good that they were holding Texas State at bay as well and not allowing them to score. So,
which, by the way, you mentioned, you know, Arkansas State being one of the better teams in the league. Southern Miss plays Arkansas State on Saturday, and then next Thursday they play Marshall. So they get both the best teams in the league back-to-back here coming up. One at home, though. Marshall's going to be at home next week.
We're fixing to see, is this fair to say, where the rubber meets the road with both teams?
Yeah, I think especially men. I mean, like Barry McKnight said, you know, it's great what they've done so far, but they haven't played the best competition yet. Right. And I know that, you know, if they win tonight, they're going to say, nobody thought we played the best competition, blah, blah, blah. But, like, it's just true. We're just, you know, I'm a journalist, and I'm just looking at it. You know, you've played two of the bottom teams in the league. That's 4 of your wins, and you won in overtime against the middle-of-the-road team.
I will say this. If you had to have a choice of starting your regular conference schedule with weak opponents
– I would.
Or with strong opponents.
No, I would want the weak guys.
I would, too.
That's a good argument.
Because you develop that record, you develop a little bit of a reputation, but you also develop a little bit of swagger, right? You start smelling yourselves a little bit, getting confidence. The more you play, the better you're probably going to be, so that you hope by the end of the season or whenever those tougher teams come along.
4-1 is a lot different than 2-3.
For sure. Right.
I think we've seen what you're talking about a lot the last couple of years in soccer, if you really want to be honest about it. I mean, they've played such difficult schedules at the start of the year that you just kind of wondered if those kids didn't get a little demoralized from just one big-time school after another.
Yeah. That's what we said, because, you know, you'd see that schedule come out. It'd be Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Auburn, Texas, LSU.
Right. It's crazy.
You don't have any relief. So then, you know, you start your non-conference like 1-7. Your only wins against like
you have seen the first month of the baseball schedule.
Yeah,
I think a different scenario.
All I know is that, you know, I'm pretty sure we're going to see on Eagle Post, I should be fired and Travis Creel, and because they're 4-5 or something because of that schedule.
But really, the state of the base and this. You should really go without being said, but the baseball program, the state of the baseball program, a lot different.
But here's the deal. Even if they're 5-4 coming out of all that, or 5-5, you know, that's still good.
That's real good.
Right. You know, so as long as you're winning series, you know, I would say that nobody should be expecting sweeps to start the season. That's for sure.
And I want to go back and clear up the point about having weaker teams at the beginning of your conference schedule. Because we talked about the Southern Miss basketball non-conference schedule with Miami and Buffalo
LSU.
And LSU and South Carolina. You know, that's a whole different ballgame. Those pre-conference games, those are money games. You're also trying to find yourself a little bit, you know, work your different combinations. Yeah, it essentially is the preseason. So when you start your conference schedule, if you had to choose the tougher teams or the weaker teams, you'd want the weaker teams and you'd want most of your games at home.
Because even if they drop the game tonight, right, they're still 4-2. So it's not like they're just their whole season's done. And then you go on the road on Saturday to play Texas State, who you just beat. Right, so.
But that's another thing I especially hate about the way the Sun Belt has scheduled these.
They just played Texas State.
And these four-game road trips.
Yeah. We've discussed this ad nauseum on the show.
But I mean, another reason why is you lose four games in a row. They're all might be on the road, but it completely changes the complexion of the rest of your season.
Right. All right, guys, about 5 minutes left in this segment. I want to switch gears here quickly. Dima, you said you thought football had signed about 20 kids out of the portal.
Well, it's not just out of the portal because, you know, they're still signing high school players as well. So, you know, they only had 8 in that December class, and the national signing day is in February. So they're getting a lot out of high school as well. Yeah, but, I mean, right now about 25-30 out of the portal, JUCO, but also some other, you know, team players. They signed the quarterback that we covered. They got a Penn State receiver, you know. So
Ole Miss player, I think, transferred.
Yeah. So, you know, they're going to be doing good. I talked with Rage Stringer, GM. He said once things dies down, he'd love to come on the Eagle Hour, and we'll have him on and probably for an extended time just to chat. Because, you know, he's of course it's Blake Anderson and staff, but he's, you know, doing the recruiting, watching. You know, he's right up all in it. So we'll hopefully have him on later. And once it's kind of died down, Friday the portal ends closes. On Friday. Now, that does not mean that they stop, just cease all operations, right? Because just because the portal ends doesn't mean you can still get players here. It's just that's the window of when players can enter the portal. Doesn't mean that you have to have all your players in by Friday, right? So they might have another portal guy sign in February, early February, things like that. But yeah, once it's done and there's a more, you know, holistic view on it, I'll have a better list and probably come out with an article. I mean, spring football, believe it or not, is like a month and a half away.
Yeah. You know, guys, one thing we never talk about in the portal, and I have to believe there are a lot of them, a lot of kids that enter the portal don't get picked up by anybody. What happens to those kids?
Well, they can, with like, for example, they have until Friday to withdraw their name from the portal. So if you're not really seeing anything, you know, if you're getting it from Tiddlywinks University or something and you're at Clemson, then you're like, yeah, I might stay. But, you know, they can withdraw their name from the portal. I don't actually know the rules if they don't withdraw their name. You have to end up somewhere. You can't just drop out of football, right? So,
yeah, but I just wonder how many coaches' attitude would be, oh, so Kelly, you wanted to leave and nobody picked you up. Well,
right.
Guess what, Kelly, I don't need you on the roster.
We've kind of discussed that in the past, too, as to, you know, how dedicated are you to this program if you were ready to, you know, leave at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think a lot of Sun Belt schools start licking their chops when they say, oh, well, we got this kid from the SEC. This guy was in.
We've seen that before. It doesn't necessarily mean anything.
That's right. It does. I mean, if they weren't playing or weren't even, you know, giving a shadow on the front step of the SEC school they went to, they may not be any better player than the guys that you already have in-house.
Correct.
That we're playing.
Right. So. And like, that's a great argument. You know, you go to, and I hate to bring up the Will Hall era, but almost every quarterback he brought in, you know, Billy Wiles was a Clemson transfer.
Yeah,
you know, Tate Rodemaker, the Florida State transfer, everybody was going crazy. You know, they just all ended up being bad. And, you know, part of that's development. Part of that's not, you know, not necessarily just on the players. Part of it's development, kind of how those seasons went. But, you know, they get this quarterback in from Illinois, and he did some good things at Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't know about him. You know, he's still an outlier. And all of the players on this team that they've gotten in so far, running backs from JUCOs, you know, ton of defensive linemen and offensive linemen from JUCOs, like they had good seasons. Some of them had good season at JUCOs, and some of them have just been sitting on the bench at other schools. So it's still in a sense of this is going to be the most, you know, I'll believe it when I see it rostered that we've probably ever recovered as Southern Miss.
I think I prefer the JUCO guy that's played a lot than the guy that's on a big team, a big SEC school, but never sees the field, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, there's good examples both ways, right? Like Jeffrey Pittman at Mississippi State wasn't really seeing the field at all, right, at Mississippi State.
He was a good player.
And he came here and was a great player.
Good player.
You know, but you'll have the guys like I said, Billy Wiles or Tate Rodemaker, who similar, but they weren't great players. But then you'll have the JUCO guys like a Broderius Lewis, right? You know, your JUCO guy's just incredible. And then they had another JUCO guy who was a really big guy. They got signed for last year's team, and he didn't even see the field the whole season.
But there is, and you just mentioned it, there is one position you cannot
miss
on, and that is the quarterback. You cannot lay an egg with who you sign at quarterback.
Six-year starter. They got in here, though. So.
All right, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Be sure you get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you. With expert medical care closer to home, ForestHealth.org. Kurt Lewis expected to play a big role in tonight's game at Troy. We're going to hear from that young man when the Super Talk Eagle Hour continues.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. DBAT on Hardy Street, where you can go for all your athletic training. Beautiful facility indoors, got a great pro shop, a lot of expert guys down there can really help you be the best at whatever sport you want to tackle. Check them out at DBAT on Hardy Street. And if you're going to work on your home or your yard or your garden, then you got to go to MCS Home Center. You'll find everything you need for any project around your property at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Hattiesburg's new improvement center with local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West.
I think Bob, they're going to get Ernesto to do some commercials for them. You know, because I certainly don't do any work in the yard or anything around
the house.
Actually,
I think they have Scott Berry doing those commercials.
Oh, that's
now.
Right. That's right. Well, bad news for Ernesto.
Yeah, Ernesto's out again.
Yeah.
All right. Kurt Lewis expected to play a big role in tonight's important basketball game. Set this interview up, Kelly.
Well, he's from Louisville, so you'd think he knows a little bit about basketball. He's also one of the older players on the team and really has been contributing more and more. Good three-point shooter. When he's hot, they're going to feed him the basketball. Hopefully, he'll be hot tonight. They'll feed him the basketball. But big fan of what he has seen here in Hattiesburg. We got to know him not only as an athlete, but as a person as well. Kurt, let's start at the best place to start, at the beginning. Tell us how you actually wound up at Southern Miss and what communication took place and when you make the decision to come here.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting it, if that makes sense. I was in a portal for a little bit, got injured last year at my previous school. Then Bryce, Coach Bryce on the coach staff, he's hometown. We both from Louisville, so we had that kind of, he kind of knew me growing up. And then Noah as well, they both being JUCO guys. They reached out to me in the portal, said they had a good opportunity for me to come in and play. It was a whole new team, new coach staff. Ended up talking to Coach Ladner a little bit, and we made everything happen.
Well, it's about time we got somebody from Louisville, because you remember Kenny Payne?
Yeah.
He's from right up the road.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he wound up, and everybody thought that he was going to wind up coming to Southern Miss, and he winds up going to Louisville, so we weren't real happy.
I was familiar with Kenny Payne.
about that time. So what's been the biggest adjustment coming to Hattiesburg?
I wouldn't really say it's been I really like the weather much better here. As far as on the court anything, it haven't been too much of an adjustment. But for me, myself, coming back from a groin injury, previously, actually a year ago today, I got injured. So just fighting back into getting back to myself. But I can really say it hasn't been no crazy adjustments. Everything's been flowing pretty well.
People have been nice, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, that's I want to make sure we're behaving ourselves.
For sure.
Okay.
Sure.
What did you, when you guys first assembled, what did you think you had with this team?
Right away on my visit, I seen we had the athletic team, pretty big team. We got big guards. A lot of guys that could be versatile. We could put different people in different spots. I could play the 1-4 DB, could play the 1-4 bully. So I seen how versatile he was, and I really liked that right away.
And what is your favorite position to play of those, and why?
I would probably say the shooting guard, because, I mean, I can obviously get a lot of shots. Coach be on me about not shooting the ball. But, I mean, pretty much, I can pretty much play anywhere. My favorite person is probably the shooting guard, though.
Okay, and you talked about the versatility of this team, but now that you've had to kind of re-scramble the deck with some injuries and so on, how do you foresee this team being different in the way that it presents itself on the floor?
Yeah, man, losing Isaac was a huge loss. Like I told the guy, that's 17 points, 8 rebounds a game, not even counting everything else he's doing. So, I feel like we're still trying to figure things out. We've been doing it pretty well, but we just got to keep everyone got to step up. Now I got to play better. All the guys that play that's starting to play a little bit more, we just all got to step up.
But it's kind of cool, though, Kirk, because you guys are winning.
Exactly, yeah. I feel like what Coach emphasized, I mean, the next man up mentality. We know how much of a loss Isaac was, so we're just trying to keep going with everything.
What are some things that you got? I mean, obviously the goal is to win the Sun Belt tournament,
sure,
because we all know that's the only team that's going to get to go to the dance, right? So what do you guys have to do better as a team in order to position yourself at the Sun Belt tournament to win that thing?
Definitely keep playing. Well, we actually got to play better than what we've been playing. Just executing down the stretch. A lot of the games we win in the game at the end. We just got to work on closing the game out, taking care of the ball. And I feel like we do those things. We defend well. I feel like we can score against anybody. As long as we do those things, I feel like we'll get to where we want to be at the end.
A couple of questions that, and I've never coached a basketball game in my life, but watching you guys, we tend to go on these streaks where we'll score 12 points in 1 minute, and then we'll go 6 minutes without a bucket. And then the other thing is we'll shoot 40% from 3-point, and then the next night we'll shoot 18%. You know, how can you develop consistency in those sorts of things? Because the other team has a lot to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much whenever you own, you own. I say, we can't let, like you said, it's times we shoot terrible from the field, but we just got to defend. We know we got to tilt our hat on defense a little more because shots not falling, so we can't get scored on. But my mentality is, to, you know what I'm saying, keep shooting. I mean, everybody has their, every team has their days.
And with the versatility that you guys have, do you see a lot of chess pieces moving going forward, or is everybody going to kind of, you think, settle into, even without Isaac, they're going to settle into this is going to be their specific role?
That's kind of a tough question, just because, like I said, Isaac was a huge loss, so obviously everyone has to step up. But I feel like we, coaches figuring things out, I feel like it's game 5 or 4 without Isaac, and like you said, we was winning, so I feel like we're going to keep doing what we're doing, but push everything up a little more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what are you working on in your own individual game? Because you guys play at a very high level. I know you're always trying to get better. That's just what's, it's in your DNA. So what are you working on your own specific game?
Personally, my decision-making on defense and offense and shooting the ball, I know my role on the team is to knock shots down. So that's been the biggest thing I've been working on, staying in the gym, getting my shot right.
Okay, now we're going to talk, just learn a little bit more about you, Kurt. All right, what is your go-to food? If somebody were to bring you something every single day, you'd never get sick of eating it.
Yeah, probably fried catfish.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Since I've been down here, man, I've been huge on it.
I was just going to say, in Kentucky, they don't do catfish.
I've been huge on it since I moved down here, so probably... That or probably a pizza, pepperoni pizza. Okay. You can't go wrong with pizza. So
yeah. Well, I asked Tig. He's not a pizza guy.
That's crazy.
I'm with you, man. Yeah. I could eat pizza.
Yeah, I can eat pizza every day.
All right. Favorite movie actor and favorite movie actress and favorite movie of all time and why?
Favorite movie of all time. That's a tough question. Probably the first Rush Hour.
Okay.
The first Rush Hour.
You're going back a few years.
Yeah. I'm an older guy, so I'm gonna go back. Actor?
Chris Tucker had really good chemistry.
I like Ice Cube as my actor.
Okay.
Because I like the Friday series they had going as well.
Yeah.
What was the last question?
And the actress.
I'm not sure.
Beyonce's not an actress.
Yeah. that's a tough question.
It's not that important, I guess, in the grand scheme. Are you a big movie person?
I am. I'm more of a show type of guy. I get into a lot of shows.
Like live concerts?
Yeah, not like show series. Like my favorite series of all time is Prison Break. I'm not sure if you...
Oh, okay. All right, like streaming?
Yeah, like streaming.
Streaming series, okay.
Instead of movies, I'm the type of show guy. I like to watch series.
Well, Prison Break, this is the year that we break out. We win the Sun Belt tournament and
that's
we go to the big dance.
We got to keep doing what we're doing.
All right, Kurt, thanks so much for your time, buddy. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
It's Kurt Lewis, everybody. One thing I like about the way you interview these guys, Kelly, is you get this personal stuff out of them. And funny to hear this kid talk about he's discovered fried catfish since he came to Mississippi.
Well, I saw your reaction. His stock went way up, didn't it?
I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really cool.
Of course, you eat too much of that fried catfish. That doesn't help you stay in playing shape. No. You know,
you're
too much.
A catfish guy, right?
Yeah, but I don't have to be out there running around.
We've noticed that.
You're a catfish man?
Yes, I love catfish. Yeah.
Always good when you can educate these Northerners on Southern cuisine, right?
Actually, I like talking to these guys, too, because when you start talking about them personally, their demeanor changes.
They loosen up a lot.
Yeah, and it's like when they have that athletic hat on, they feel like there's only certain things they can say or their answers are kind of canned, right? But when you start talking about them personally, you can tell they really enjoy it because they know you care.
Has you ever asked about where they buy their reading glasses?
Yeah.
Or?
Speaking of the next segment, well, we've got a good news and notes for you today.
And look, Barry McKnight, a well-respected journalist and broadcaster in the Sun Belt, and you guys are telling him about my reading glasses.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler alert.
How about you get a picture of this and put it on our Facebook page? Could you do that when he puts them back on to read again?
If I put them back on.
I'm just disappointed that you've never worn that pair with your salmon outfit.
Oh, boy, I would be real popular with a certain segment of the population.
With the pink outfit and the blue sparkly glasses, you'd be quite something.
I would be, yeah.
Only thing you'd have to do to better that, put on your tinfoil coat. Have you Man, still got that?
You guys should know by now the green-eyed monster of jealousy and envy is not a good color on either one of you. You know, you're just so jealous of my fashion statements.
Absolutely. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play it, or ask them, I should say. Or you just go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. And coming later, we will have a picture of this on our Facebook page. But when we come back, news and notes with Dima Mixon.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the last segment of our program every day. They're right there in the shadow of the rock. Great place to grab lunch, have dinner, or catch the big NFL football games that are going to be on TV all weekend. They'll all be on the tube down at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also want to remind you about a great dessert location, Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Kelly can tell you what the toppings are of the month. Kelly's pretty frequent customer there.
The Mardi Gras cream cheese. I told you about that.
I know.
Yeah, and again, they call it the grandma's gravy or whatever, mm-hmm. which is like a smashed brownie, mm-hmm. kind of liquefied a little bit. You can put that in there too. And of course, the big Kairos Mardi Gras parade scheduled for Saturday, February 7th. Be a great day to start the day at Mo Bay and then be right there on the parade route.
I'm a slave for cream cheese. I'll bet that is good. Man, there's nothing about cream cheese I don't like.
I'd like a lot of dairy products, but if you have difficulty with weight, dairy products, I guess, aren't too good.
Especially mixed with sugar.
Well, that's why it's called a treat, right?
I got you. Yeah. I got you. All right, now, speaking of treats, you got any news and notes you want to share with us, Dima?
Well, the news and notes is what's on the counter over here.
Yeah. So Kelly came to work today. We just put up a picture on our Facebook page. We'd really like your opinion, so feel free to post. Are these girls' glasses that Kelly Santa is wearing?
Bob, you know that the Supreme Court is dealing with this decision right now as to whether these are girls' glasses or men's glasses. Right. The fact of the matter
first, we have to determine what is a girl and what is a boy.
Or what are glasses and what are reading glasses and
correct,
what are...
Correct.
What do those glasses identify as?
Yes, how do those glasses identify, Kelly?
They identify as plus 225s.
Actually, what they identify as is Kelly admitted he found them for 50 cents. And his son even said, Dad, you've got enough money, you don't have to buy 50-cent reading. Is that what he said to
yes,
you?
Yes, but why not? I mean, if...
Well, I already know he didn't buy them.
I got these on sale at the Dollar Tree.
There's no way you bought some.
Kelly, did you see the sign that says
is anything
women's?
On your appearance right now something you bought?
Yeah, that's a great... That is a great
okay,
question.
So the clothes and the shoes aren't?
No, the shoes I bought as well.
What about that jacket?
No, I didn't buy that.
No.
But see, I got the, and I'll tell you, I know exactly when I got these glasses. I got them at Dollar Tree when I bought the audio recording device that I did the Kurt Lewis interview on.
I think that's where you bought it, all right.
Yeah, that was at the Family Dollar.
I think that recording device was about $2.50.
That's a high-dollar recording device we send Kelly out with, and somehow it comes back sounding like that. I just don't know.
It is. Maybe I should have spent a little bit more and gotten the $5 model, for sure.
I think that's a $500 model that he was using.
Yes, it was a $500 model recorder, and it just sounds like crap.
But these glasses work just as good as any other glasses.
Yeah, but at any point did you look up at where it said women's and men's? Does that register with you?
I don't.
There's no way that those specific glasses were the only ones that were 50 cents.
No, it couldn't have been.
So there had to be a black pair, a brown pair, a blue pair.
I don't see color, Dima. Not in today's America. I don't see color.
Clearly, look at the glasses.
I just
these glasses are going to have one. Rights by the time we're
How
done.
How would you describe those though, Kelly? Sparkly? Would sparkly?
No,
be
it's
right?
A leopard print that's blue.
A blue leopard print. Kelly Sanders wearing blue leopard print glasses.
Again, the green-eyed monster of jealousy. See, you guys seem to think that I care.
And more than our listeners care.
And obviously, I don't care.
I don't think our listeners
care. They were 50 cents, and I can read with them, right?
We're happy for you. If you're happy, we're happy. But would you do me one favor? Would you wear those with the salmon outfit just one day?
Speaking of that, when's Kelnack coming back?
Maybe when I go down to Mardi Gras. That'd be a
do
good
we have the music? Is he close?
Who, Kelnack?
Yeah. Oh, there
he is. There
our
he
visitor is. From the East, you know.
Yes. When is he coming back, Kelly?
When he's invited.
Well, he's invited. Considered an opening. Let's do him in February. Kick off the month of February and let Kelnack predict what's going to happen in the new year.
Well, you know what? He's going to bring Hump into this parking lot.
Okay, well, hang on 1 second. Here's our favorite part.
Oh, you like that singing part.
Oh, I love the singing Arab woman.
But when he brings Hump, you guys complain about the smell out in the parking lot. You know, and he's got to park Hump somewhere.
Give him the glasses there.
Poor old Hump. Wait a minute. No. Yeah, there's Hump. Hump's still around. Yeah. they tie him over there to the Coke machine in front of Corner Market. It's quite a scene.
Yeah.
Here you go, Kelly. Wait a second. Wait a second.
Come on, Bob.
Oh no, that was Kelly. He had lunch at Ward's. I'm sorry. Here's Hump.
That shrimp salad I added.
If people hadn't turned off this show by now.
Yeah, it's sitting heavy on my chest. Who have we got tomorrow on the program?
I have no idea.
Are we even going to be on the air tomorrow?
That's questionable at this point, yes.
Well, yeah. We'll review the basketball game from last night.
Yes, for sure.
Troy and Southern Miss. And then
What do you think about that spread, though? Do you mind?
Yeah, 9.5. You know, I think it's a little – I think it's probably a little too high for me a little bit.
So if you were a betting man, you're saying you'd take the Eagles and the points?
Yeah, I think so.
See, and I don't know that I can. I think I'd have to take Troy and lay those 9.5.
Well, we can all agree it'd be a great win.
Tonight. Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it's going to be ESPN Plus, 7 o'clock?
6.
6 o'clock.
And that would be their third road win in an early season.
Well, let's go, Eagles. Let's get it done. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. And we always have fun with Kelly.
Sure, no problem.
Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.